because he lives. And also Scott McPherson and friends, thank you for special music as well during our offertory. As a church, we are blessed, aren't we? We are blessed to be able to worship our God on this beautiful Sabbath morning. Some of you might know that I had the opportunity of going up to Chico, California 2 weekends ago and spend some time in study with other teachers from North America and also from Asia. And we had someone come all the way from Shanghai, China, and we had also teachers from Walla Walla, PUC, Southern Adventist University, and we were able to study the book of Daniel and Revelation. And the question I always get when I come back is, what did you learn that was new? And we didn't learn much new, but we did learn that what we believe in is in the Word of God. And every time I go to these meetings and we study God's Word and we have these presenters, they share for 30 minutes a paper and they share a lot of technical detail about the Greek and the Hebrew grammar, and they share as to what they see that the text is saying. Then we have 30 minutes to ask questions. And praise the Lord for questions, yes? We can say, why do you see it this way, and what is your evidence? I always come back inspired to study God's Word even more. There is so much that we still don't know, and God has given us His Word so that we today can understand the things that He is about to do. Amen? That's why we have the Word of God, and what a privilege to be able to study it here today. I see Allison's family here, brothers and daughter, and I also see, I saw Abby. There she is, yes. Abby Machado, who is here with us during our evangelistic meeting. Praise the Lord, you're here to worship with us this morning. Last week, Pastor Jeff shared something very important, and a concept that made me reflect and think, and I think it made us all reflect and think. Obedience is something important. Amen? Obedience is something important, and it's not just the kind of obedience that we say with our words, but it's the kind of obedience that we say with our actions. Yes? And he gave us the example of Saul, King Saul, man of God, chosen to lead the people of Israel. And through the prophet Samuel, he had received specific instructions as to what he needed to do to the Amalekites. Did he follow God's instructions? No. He thought he did. He told Samuel, of course I've obeyed. But Samuel said, what have you done, Saul? Why have you gone against God's word? And we learned that it is better to obey than to offer sacrifices. It is better to obey than to offer great offerings to God. And today I would like to do something with you. I would like to go to the book of Revelation and have a Bible study with you. Some of these things might be common to you. You've read them before. But I believe there's a special message in this book of Revelation for God's people in the times that we're living in. And I would like to invite you to a very well-known chapter for us Adventists, Revelation chapter 14. And I would like to begin here with verse 1, Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And in my Bible, I read, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. What does John see here? What's the first thing that he mentions that he sees on Mount Zion? The Lamb. And with him, 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. There's something different about this group of 144,000. They have gone through an incredible experience. They have gone through a time of trouble. They have, they were willing to sacrifice their life if needed, in order to obey God. And we find in this passage, verse 3, this is something that they did. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. A special group of people who stand before the throne of God. Is that an exciting image there? A scene? I find it very, very interesting. And we find in this passage, after it describes this group of people, it also describes a message that they share. And we know this message as being the three angels' message. They proclaim it with power during the time of the end. And then verse 12 describes this group of people by saying, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus." Did you know that the name Jesus appears 90 times in the book of Revelation? In fact, we know that the book of Revelation can be summarized in one word. What is it? Jesus. He is the main character of the book of Revelation. And he's also known in this book by several other names. And I would like to just briefly go through some of these names with you. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus is known as the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the Lord which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, the first and the last, and one like unto the Son of Man, he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and he who has the keys of hell. Revelation chapter 2 describes Jesus in the following way: one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, one who walks in the midst of the seven lampstands, the one who was dead but now alive, the one who has the sharp sword with the two edges, the Son of God. And Revelation chapter 3 describes Jesus, he that has the seven spirits, he that is holy, true, and has the keys of David to open and to close. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Does that describe Jesus well, brothers and sisters? That describes Jesus in so many different ways. And there are other ways in which he is described here in the book of Revelation that we will be studying. But yes, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he is revealed here in this book in his glory, in his awesomeness, as who he truly is. After this message to the seven churches is given in those two chapters, chapters 2 and 3, we find in Revelation chapter 4 a scene, a throne scene, that I would like you to open your Bibles to, because we will be reading a little bit this morning. We're going to be reading verses 1 and on of Revelation chapter 4, a description of something that John saw that was revealed to him, a revelation of this beautiful scene in heaven. And Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, "After this I looked, And behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Would you be excited to be there? Yes? If you had that opportunity to see the throne room. This is the center of control of the universe. This is the most important place in the entire universe. And we know from Scripture that there is someone who has always wanted to usurp that position. Someone who was in heaven at one time, who stood close to that throne. His name is Satan, and he's longed to put his person upon that throne. But praise the Lord, it is God who sits on that throne. Amen? He is the one who is described here in his greatness, in his awesomeness. Verse 5 tells us that out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So imagine these lamps shining in all of their brightness. And before the throne was also a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So you can imagine these lights. You can imagine the reflection upon the sea of glass. And just beautiful scenery. And John is just going, wow, I need to share this with my friends. I need to write this down. He goes on by describing in verses 7 and 8 these beasts that surround the throne. But what catches my attention is verse 8. What is it that these four creatures do? And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These four creatures, day and night, give glory to the one who sits upon the throne. Verse 9 tells us, and when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, somebody else joins in. Verse 10 tells us, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. What we'll see through the book of Revelation, we'll see these hymns coming up from the 144,000, hymns coming up from the four creatures surrounding the throne, hymns being sung to God by the 24 elders that are around the throne and that cast their crowns before the throne. Can you see this, brothers and sisters? Can you hear it? All these beings around the throne praising God and saying, thou art worthy. My question to you, why is God worthy of our praise? Why is God worthy of all power of all honor, of all glory. Why? The Bible tells us why. And praise God, we can always go to the Bible. Amen? That is where we want to go to find our answers. And the Bible tells us, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We praise God because he is the creator of all things. Satan would want us to believe that we don't have to praise God. That we, in fact, should please ourselves. That you and I can be in control of our own destiny. We don't need anyone to tell us what to do. We can figure it out on our own selves. We are intelligent, sophisticated, educated. We know so much more today with the internet. Until we face life and its challenges. And then we're ready to say, "Someone else, please take control. I don't know where I'm going." Or, "I know where I'm going, and where I'm going does not look good." But praise God, he is willing not only to take his place in the heavenly throne, but he's willing to take his place in each one of our hearts. Amen? He wants to reign here. He wants to be in control. In fact, you and I were created to worship him, to please him. We don't have to please others. We are to please God and God alone. Amen? John continues sharing with us these beautiful scenes from this throne scene up in heaven in chapter 5. And chapter 4 and chapter 5 are two crucial chapters that talk about this throne scene. And you'll find out that throne scenes are found both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, specifically books of Daniel, Ezekiel. You have there some throne scenes, and in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, and also chapters 19 and 20. These are crucial chapters in helping us understand what is happening in heaven. And John tells us in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Does this sound like an important book? Sounds like an important book. It's a book that's on the right hand of whom? Of the one who sits on the throne. Okay, so the one who sits on the throne, on his right hand, has this very important book. And this book is sealed. It has how many seals? Seven seals. John sees a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" The question again comes, who is worthy? And the answer comes back in verse 3 immediately. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." No one was found. And John wanted to know the content of that scroll. What's in that scroll? And because he did not find anyone who was able to open the book,
neither to look thereon. Verse 4 tells us, and I, John, wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Have you ever been in a very nice place, a beautiful place, where everybody around you seems to be enjoying themselves, but you're not? Have you been there? And it's like, wow, this is really nice, but I'm sad. I wish someone, and you might think of a spouse, a child, would be here with me. Yes? Have you been there? I've been there where we're, oh, I'm in, here in front of this beautiful scene, but I'm here by myself. Or there's some things I'm going through that are not resolved. And even though everything around me seems to be nice, I'm sad. And I see John going through a similar experience. Wow, what am I seeing here? This is awesome. I heard about it from Daniel. I heard about this from Ezekiel. But now my eyes are seeing this. But why can't we find someone to open the book so that we can look into it? There's a writing from Sister White. It's a manuscript release, number 9. I believe it's paragraph 2, or page 7 and paragraph 2. And this is what it says. There in his open hand lay the book, the roll of the history of God's providences, the prophetic history of nations and the church. Herein was contained the divine utterances, his authority, his commandments, his laws, the whole symbolic counsel of the eternal, and the history of all ruling powers in the nations. In symbolic language was contained in that roll the influence of every nation, tongue, and people from the beginning of earth's history to its close. A very important book. It had the destiny of humanity. It had your destiny and my destiny written in this book. But praise God, there is somebody who is worthy. Amen? And one of the elders in verse 5 said unto John, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed, has conquered, has succeeded to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Who is, brothers and sisters, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David? Who is it? Jesus. Jesus is described not only as the Lion of the tribe of Judah or the Root of David, but verse 6 tells us, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Jesus is described as a lamb that stands as if it were slain. Here you find Jesus in this throne room, surrounded by angels, surrounded by these 4 creatures, standing as if it were slain. Why was Jesus slain? Why does this beautiful picture in heaven that seems so perfect, why does it put there in the center of this activity, of this heavenly activity, a lamb as if it were slain? Why did Jesus die on the cross, brothers and sisters? Share with me.
To redeem us.
To redeem us. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For our sins. Why did Jesus die on that cross? For our transgressions. So that we can have life. To take our place. Because he loved us. And he loves us. Revelation paints this beautiful picture and puts the lamb that was slain in the middle of it. Amen? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Don't look anywhere for solutions. Look at the Lamb. He is the one who can change us. He is the one who can transform us. He is the one who can heal us. He is the one who can give us life. Amen? The Lamb of God is standing in the midst of this throne room. And I just want to take you to a few passages in the book of Daniel and Revelation. We won't be able to go through all of them, but open your Bibles quickly to Daniel chapter 7, where it describes this throne scene. Chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And I read in my Bible, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. In other versions, it says where they were set up. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and what was opened? The books were open. Revelation chapter 19, going there very quickly, it's at the end. Chapter 20, actually, verses 11 and 12. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. Another throne scene. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Clearly, the Bible speaks about these throne scenes, these judgment scenes. And they describe these books as being open. But why are they able to be open? Who opened them? Jesus is the one who has opened these books. And if we go back to Revelation chapter 4, it describes the moment when he takes this book from the hand of he who had it upon the throne. Verse 7 tells us, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And look what they do. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Why is the Lamb worthy to take the book? What's the answer that the Bible gives us, brothers and sisters? Because he has redeemed us. Amen? He was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Is this a message we need to share with the world, brothers and sisters? I think it's stated here clearly. It's a message we are to share with everyone. The Lamb of God, the creator of the universe, was slain so that you and I could have life, and life eternal. Amen? This is what John hears in verse 11, and this was our scripture reading. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Amen? Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the one who sits upon the throne, because they have created all things for their pleasure. And because the Lamb of God was slain to redeem us unto God. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and verse 27 tells us the following. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." And verse 27, "and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Question. How do we honor the Son? How do you and I honor the Son? By what we believe intellectually? By what we say with our lips and words? Or do we honor him by the way we live? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Does that mean that he's in control and not I? That he lives and I am dead to self? There's one more quote I would like to share with you. This is the last one. The fifth chapter of Revelation needs to be closely studied. It is of great importance to those who shall act a part in the work of God for these last days. There are some who are deceived. They do not realize what is coming on the earth.
those who have permitted their minds to become beclouded in regard to what constitutes sin, are fearfully deceived. Is there a problem today in defining sin, brothers and sisters? There's a huge problem today. Is the Bible clear about what sin is? It's very clear. Unless they make a decided change, they will be found wanting when God pronounces judgment upon the children of men. They have transgressed the law and broken the everlasting covenant, and they will receive according to their works. Is this an important message to study? Very important. We are living in solemn times. A judgment is taking place in heaven. And you and I are being invited by heaven to cover our unrighteousness with his righteousness. Amen? To cover our sins with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? We are being invited, brothers and sisters, to make a decision. I can't make it for my wife. She can't make that decision for me. Your children cannot make a decision for you, parents. And parents, you can't make that decision for your children. Each one of them has to make that decision. And that decision needs to take place when? Today, now. Who will you worship? You have two choices. You can worship God, the Creator. You can worship Jesus, who gave his life for you. Or you can worship Satan, the beast, his image. They'll even tell you you can worship yourself if you want to. What will you and I decide? How will we decide this? And as I look back to Revelation chapter 14, that first section that we read from the book of Revelation, you see the 144,000. God's children who have gone through a very difficult time, who've proclaimed an incredible message. And verse 12 tells us, here, look, here is the patience, here is the endurance, here is the perseverance of the saints, of the prophets, of the disciples, of God's end time people. Here is the patience of the saints who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Can we praise God today? Has he been very clear in telling us what we need to do? Very clear. And this message we are to share with others, not just by what we say, but especially by what we do, how we live our life as Christians, as followers of the Lamb who was slain, and by his blood we are redeemed. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing our last hymn, beautiful hymn that we have in our hymnal, and I believe comes from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb.